Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Renzo and Monica Ortega, part two. They'll give a video reflection and much more. Well, welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Monica and Renzo Ortega. This is a part two. We did a show with them last week about their great apostolate to become family apostolate. And tonight, we're going to be talking about some of the difficulties and struggles they had early on in their marriage and how they worked through them. It's a powerful show. They're a great witness for us.
Yeah. And we're now going to a reflection with Monica and Renzo.
So one of the ways we started building a daily prayer life as a couple was we started being very intentional about what we did. It started with baby steps. Like, we didn't take it super big right from the beginning. So we started just by praying a Hail Holy Queen together every day at night. And also remembering that prayer with our children counted as prayer as a couple. And then from there, we started really building on the Hail Holy Queen. That became like our foundation, and then slowly adding more prayers together and not being afraid to pray even if we were arguing. It made prayer a little bit awkward when we're holding hands and we're angry at each other, but always making sure that we always came back to prayer, even if things weren't going well at home, even if things weren't great throughout the day, really grounding ourselves in that and starting with baby steps and really building on that foundation. Yeah.
And one of our priest friends was so good to us and reminded us that praying as a family is praying together as a couple, and it is part of your own personal daily prayer life as well. So we pray before meals as a family, we pray before bed as a family, going to Mass together as a family. We do try to take the children to First Friday Adoration and to daily Mass every once in a while. And all of these things, again, were built over time, but they're ways that we are doing things together to build our family, to build our spirituality.
And our prayer definitely doesn't look the way it did when we were young adults and didn't have children. But there's still something beautiful in this season of life in making time, making more intentional time for prayer and allowing God to work even in those smaller moments.
Yeah. And I think by setting aside that time, by knowing before bed we're going to pray the Hail Holy Queen, and we added to that over time, we're now able to add in spontaneous prayer and intercessory prayer for one another. And that's time to be more vulnerable and more authentic.
Welcome back, Monica and Renzo.
Thank you. So good to be here.
This week, we're going to talk a little bit more about maybe your own experience. Both your parents are divorced, and that had some impact on you. And then you had to work through things early in the marriage, communication styles, and you had some tools that you were given. But maybe talk about the impact of the divorce on you.
I think the biggest impact was that we both went into marriage with the goal of not getting divorced. Right? We didn't have a goal for a thriving marriage, one that was founded on God, but it was a don't get divorced.
Yep.
And that quickly led us not into a good place because we were not addressing the things that needed to be addressed. There was a lot of communication issues, like you mentioned, and just not having a shared vision of what this marriage should be like really put us in a lot of trouble.
Mm. Yeah. So some of the things that we learned along the way as we, you know, met some of these difficulties was we learned a couple different communication strategies, or maybe just like ways to describe how we communicated differently so that we at least understood where the other was coming from.
And we're not talking about active listening.
Right.
I think everybody talks about active listening.
So one thing that we learned is that Renzo is an external processor and I'm more of an internal processor. So as we're working through an issue, Renzo will say all the things that comes to his mind.
Without a filter?
No filter. And then, but I also, as an internal processor, I stay very quiet, and that can feel a bit rejecting and abandoning, like I'm ignoring the situation. Why aren't you coming to the table with the mm-hmm. a solution or a way to go about mm-hmm. this? So we had to recognize that we were processing, we were thinking about the problem a little bit differently and coming to communicate about it differently. So one of the strategies was he would share his thoughts and I would say, okay, I'll come back to you in 15 minutes after I've thought about this. I really want to make sure I think about it. Or, you know, after dinner, when, mm-hmm. you know, after things quiet down, I'll be ready to communicate mm-hmm. so that he didn't feel like I blew him off. Mm-hmm. And then we also learned something called, this was a YouTube hack that we learned, the difference between ask culture and guess culture, and the way that you communicate mm-hmm. and speak to one another. Do you want to? You're pretty good at describing this.
And this could be something that we picked up from our families of origin, that we learned. We grew up in a culture that spoke a certain way to one another. So I know in my family, we were very direct, very to the point. Sometimes, regardless of how the other person might feel about what we're saying. So that's something I brought into the marriage, and Monica functioned very differently. She would, instead of going directly to the point, she might kind of go around the point and try to see how, you know, if she could lead me to what she's saying. And that led to a lot of conflict. Of can you just be more direct, and me saying that to her, and then vice versa, she's saying, can you be a little bit more polite, can you be a little softer with your approach, because I'd be very open to just saying exactly what I felt, even if it was not being received the way I was hoping it would.
And y'all were able to move the needle in each of your respective areas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like learning to be a little bit more of a better advocate, mm-hmm. and to speak my mind, because I wasn't being fully honest, and that wasn't fair to him, right? I was mm-hmm. I was holding some things back for fear of hurting feelings. Another thing that we encountered in our marriage is that I struggle with codependency, so I'm always wanting to like people please to a big mm-hmm. fault. And so I worried about conflict, so I just tried to do whatever it took to have it go away. Mm-hmm. And I thought that meant bringing peace, but really that just meant like stuffing it away, and those things would keep coming up until we resolve them. So
like you say, quiet doesn't necessarily mean peace.
Quiet doesn't necessarily mean peace, that's right. And sometimes peace comes from wrestling and working through these mm-hmm. hard things. Like you said, the both and, the good and the hard can come together. And that was not something I had learned mm-hmm. From my family. So that was something we faced.
And that's something we when we built that shared vision, if it was no longer the goal of don't get divorced, but to have a marriage that thrives, we were willing to put the work that it took to move the needle on the communication styles,
sure.
and even Monica had some therapy to be able to work through codependency, and then me being willing to shift the way I communicated, because it was not the most charitable way of expressing myself to my beloved.
Yeah, because I would think even culturally, there might your Peruvian
yep. very different.
Parents, yeah, so yep. it's a differences there.
And yes. The house is a lot louder. We notice that when we go for holidays and we visit my parents, it's a very, very loud house.
Yeah.
And the vision of marriage now, that you all tried to have the same vision, how would you describe that vision now?
Oh, gosh. I think again, shifting the perspective from what we don't want to what we do want.
Yeah,
and what we do want is the good for the other, and that good is ultimately heaven, right? So mm-hmm. like, how am I contributing to my spouse's and my children's path to heaven, their relationship with Christ? How am I mm-hmm. contributing? Am I helping or am I hurting it? And mm-hmm. and how do I make adjustments to make sure that I'm on the helping side of things?
Mm-hmm.
And then really just remembering, going back to what we talked about, like friendship, that like I love you and I like you. So to have a lot of joy and happiness in our home, mm-hmm. Even if things get hard, we can still remember or set aside time to remind ourselves of like, we just like being together and we like spending time together. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. And what about healing like in the conjugal life area? I mean, because a person can come in with a lot of wounds, maybe they've been abused. Like a high number of young people today, you know, have suffered that, and just had their view of sexuality and things. What has helped you in your healing? I mean, pornography can generate just like a lustful view mm-hmm. of the conjugal life, but what has been helpful, and what do you teach young people about that?
First, with young people in particular, we try to start with the basic human virtues of discipline and through temperance and chastity, and just starting there and then slowly allowing that to renew their vision of sexuality in general. And then if somebody is married, and we have talked to and walked with a lot of young people who are married who maybe are struggling as well, and really allowing them to realize that deep healing is more than just than just changing a behavior, right? This is not behavior management, but it's more of allowing grace to really penetrate your heart. And because there's a reason that you're seeking these things, whether it be because you're responding to abuse and things that happened in your past, or just you've been exposed to pornography at a young age before anybody should have been. Nobody should ever be exposed, but you're exposed to things at a super early age. So there's things you have to work through. Sometimes that means that they have to go to therapy. Sometimes it means that they need to really reorder their lives so that they could be more able to resist temptations. But ultimately, relying on grace to penetrate and get deeper to the root of what is actually causing the desire to reach to pornography and any other type of lust within their relationship.
Yeah, and I think us learning that our sexual intimacy in marriage is not what solves the problem, too. So if we have this wound, if we have this vice, if we have something that we're struggling with, and we think that our intimate relationship with our spouse is going to be the answer to that, then we're just bringing that, we're just transferring the problem over.
Yeah.
And then there again is another miscommunication, this time, you know, in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to do is really work on that healing together, so that what we speak is authentic love to our spouse instead of using them to gratify. And again, it's not always this like negative, like this bad, evil, like we're not coming at from it with from an evil perspective. I think I'm loving my spouse,
right,
but I'm not fully loving them,
mm-hmm,
because I'm still gaining something for myself from this,
right,
and not fully giving.
And we're not talking about repressing sexual desires, but learning to recognize them and directing them in a way that leads to greater holiness within the marriage.
Yeah. And noticing that those desires are actually, they're communicating something of goodness for us, and it's pointing them in the right direction. Yeah.
It's a gift from God, serves to unite the couple.
Right.
And it's joyful, right?
Exactly.
And pleasurable. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Monica and Renzo in just a moment. Seems like a summary of the Catholic teaching on the conjugal aspect of marriage, that it's that, yeah, we can't use the other person, they're not an object. If we approach it by right giving ourselves, thinking of them, how to make them happy, that also fulfills us, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
St. John Paul says that we find ourselves in being a sincere gift to others, right?
Yeah.
So when we are doing that with our spouse, that's when we find, it helps us find our identity as well, when we're truly, sincerely giving that gift. And then when we're both mutually on that same page and giving to one another, then it's ultimately going to benefit ourselves as well, and the relationship and the marriage. So,
and that's something I ask the young men that I walk with, is asking, are they free to love their beloved as they wish they could? Because if they're lusting, if they have other things that are seeping into the love that they should have for their wife, then they're not freely loving their wife. As much as they wish they could give themselves completely, they can't.
Yeah.
And that's a big symptom of a greater reality, that they are in bondage in some way, and then they need to work through that and go to the sacraments and go through grace and change their prayer lives and reorder things so that they could be freely loving their spouse.
Yeah, virtue, practicing and having it, enables us to give ourselves away to others.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not like a wreck, you know, I can have control of myself, that I can serve others, be attentive to others, you know, pay attention. And John Paul II talks about this interior gaze that we are to have, to see the person, you know, as a person, and all the richness there, you know, to not reduce them just to a sexual value, but to see the totality of the person. And we were talking about Jason Everett. One thing he says that really struck me, it's very simple, but he said that marriage isn't a fulfillment of lust.
Uh-huh. Right.
Right, so it's not, sometimes people can go in with those kind of things. You know, Monica, you said something that struck me, and we were talking about the show, what we're gonna say, is that you said that people need to know they can go through hard things.
Yeah.
So we might be afraid, young people might be afraid of marriage, to financial issues, you know, the having to die to themselves and all these things. But talk about that.
Yeah, I think that there's a fear. There's a couple of fears, right? I don't like being uncomfortable. No one likes being uncomfortable. So why would I put myself in situations that will make me uncomfortable? Well, because when you do those things, you grow and you're transformed and you become a person that you didn't realize you could be. Like, your potential is there and it won't be unleashed until you've gone through hard things. But then there's also this fear of, I'm not going to be able to do it. Right. So I'm not going to try because I don't want to fail. Right. And I think that there's a big fear of failing in a marriage because it's not just me. There's other people involved and I'm worried about that. So if I don't try, then I won't fail. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a bit distorted way of looking at the opportunities that we've been given in life. And I'm so grateful to the church to have examples of people who have gone through hard things mm-hmm. and shown us the redemption and the freedom and the glory to God that comes from going through those hard things. So we have the saints to look at, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, and just because marriage is hard doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. Mm. It may be marriage is working the way it ought to be. It's bringing about the things that need to be worked on. And that's why one thing that we say is that hard and good can coexist. And if your marriage is going through a hard time right now, there's something there that God is working on that we have to be willing to embrace, because there's goodness in suffering.
And Renzo, what are some of the things you see in men that they might be afraid of about marriage?
I think in their own way the fear of being uncomfortable. Especially within our culture, there's a big push to be comforted, to whether it be through financial means, pleasure seeking, and when you're single and you have no other worry in the world besides, you know, where you're gonna hang out this weekend and if you're gonna be able to make it to work on time, it's really easy to get comfortable, and that marriage specifically really challenges that and says, okay, go give your life away to another person. And if you're not free to do that, that seems impossible. There's no way I could ever do that. And then not only that, have children and then give your life away to them too. And again, if you're not free, you feel like there's no way I could ever do that. But Christ offers that. He gives us the example on the cross, but then he also offers us the grace to do those impossible things, do those hard things. And the men that do it, and especially we see that in the lives of the saints, are greater men than any man can be on his own, right? We look at them and we realize that's masculinity, right? Masculinity that's able to give themselves completely and not count the costs. And those aren't examples that we see in secular culture, but we see it specifically in the church.
And for women today, we talk endlessly about toxic masculinity. What are some of the challenges for women today?
Sure. So I think that there's, I think part of it is a worry of, if I give myself over, what is going to happen? So mm-hmm. I have this this desire for perfection and for control, because if I surrender some of that, then I'm no longer holding on to everything.
Right.
And I might get uncomfortable, I might suffer. And again, that's where like finding somebody who's living a life of virtue or attempting and practicing virtue, you can trust and you can surrender that life to, you could give your life as a gift to somebody else because you can trust mm-hmm. that they love you.
Right.
But if we have to first think that we're lovable, and then we also have to, again, like surrender some of that control. Our life might not look the way that we would have particularly planned it if we had controlled everything right. ourselves. But the truth of the matter is, even when we try, we can't. Right. And I think, again, that's where the invitation of grace comes in, is that like, it's okay, trust that the Lord has got this under control as well, and that he desires your good, and that his plan for marriage is good, is for your good and for the good of others.
And I know you talk about some of the podcasts that, you know, in trying to always manipulate the situation, we can miss the good and not live the good that is there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to recognize you are living in a very small house for the first 7 years
yeah.
of your marriage.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And having children and everything, so you know difficulties.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
But there was even a goodness there, right? A closeness and a
exactly.
shared life.
There's a goodness in the discomfort you were saying about financial situations. There's a goodness in sitting on the floor and eating rice and beans with your with your new husband because you couldn't afford a table just yet. Like, there's something so intimate and bonding about that, though, that you can look back and say, we did that. Like, look at our home now, look at what we've built. Yeah. And I don't mean necessarily like things, but just like look at the family that we've built. And it started, you know, on the living room floor watching reruns of The Office or whatever TV show you have on, and just, yeah, making it work.
Yeah. And it seemed like a dynamic I hear a lot. We got about a minute and a half left. Yeah, oftentimes the men's got to really grow, come out of himself, step up, and the woman has to let him, right? Yeah. She can't shoot that down. Sometimes she can do that.
Yeah. I think that there's a big difference between calling somebody out and calling them up, right? Mm-hmm. So when I call somebody out, it's usually like to shame them, to point out a failure, and then just leave and be like, that's up to you now. Yeah. But I think that when we call our spouse up, if we do it out of charity, if we do it in kindness, we watch our body language, we watch our tone, we do that in a sense of trying to communicate that you are capable. Mm-hmm. I believe in you. I'm here to support you. We're going to fail sometimes, but I'm doing this because I love you and I love our family. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's the two, there's a subtle difference between them. And then yes, like allowing your husband to become the man that he was meant to be, because he's your complement. So if he's going to be just like you, well, how are you doing on your own, right? You need him.
Right.
You need him in his way. So to trust and to love and to allow him to be the greatest version of himself.
So you all have 5 kids, you're 10 years in.
Yeah.
We're going to have to touch base with you as you go along.
We'll have more stories.
I love listening to the podcast. You'll have a lot of wisdom to share.
Thank you.
Just praying for you and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
It was great to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's time for our End of the Vineyard reflection. Brother John, what struck you about the interview?
Well, there were a couple of things, but towards the end, I thought Renzo said something very wise. And he said that just because something is hard doesn't mean that it's going wrong. And I thought there was like, how true is that? Because some of our greatest achievements really come whenever we do encounter something hard. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we're doing something wrong or that something that we're in is going wrong. But it, too, I think it ties into just being focused and just staying on that course, which is so just something that we have to persevere in. I just kind of think of like studying. Studying can be hard, yes. But whenever you see the A, you see the work that pays off. And I think there's something true about that that you can apply to marriage, that just learning how to work with each other, communicate, and that's a big aspect that they touch on quite a bit, is the whole communication factor of that. I think more people get upset or offended or whatever, just because we just kind of misunderstand the other person or what they're saying. So working on those skills, which again, I think is something we do have to develop, especially in our age with technology and the way we do often communicate, is something that we all have to work on, especially in a marriage. But I think that's something very key to just kind of hone in on.
Yeah, they mentioned that off camera about, like Gen Z or whatever is not having more difficulty forming friendships.
Yeah.
You know, that just because you're connected on online doesn't mean you're necessarily friends.
Right.
And so it is a skill, you know, we learn. It's from practice and experience. And largely just overcoming ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the theme I liked, what they talked about, how that dying to self, yet there's fulfillment.
Yeah.
You know, there's abandoning lust and looking to the other person to see what makes them happy, and there's fulfillment.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's kind of, it's paradoxical to us, because it's just me. I want this, I want that. But if we start focusing on the other, get out of ourselves, there's fulfillment. And marriage can be a crucible at times for that, but it brings results.
Yeah, and I think it's beautiful, whenever you see a family. And, and again, families with children, they have different personalities and everything, and they touch about, who you see in somebody else. And I think that's actually a beautiful witness,
It is.
Because it kind of makes yourself reflect, on yourself. Is that how people see me sometimes, And so I think just those witnesses, but I also think Monica says something very important about just kind of this fear of marriage that we're going to fail. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's true, But also we have to realize that, you know, God's grace of where God is wanting us to lead, you know, and sometimes whenever we say that we fail, it doesn't mean it's the ultimate end.
Right.
But just getting back up again and really just starting over, you know, you probably have that a lot in a marriage. Just, I mean, confession's always available.
Yeah.
But just making that maybe commitment to just start over, make things right. So,
as a friend tells me, you know, if we're not a failure, then God can't help us, right? We have to realize that. Yeah. So may our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. Yeah.